This is the Shrimps Verdicts podcast. All opinions expressed are those of the individual contributors and not necessarily those of either Morecambe Football Club or of Beyond Radio.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.
Up and over, and that's good defending now by the back line of Wrexham, but on the second phase,
yes.
It's the back of the net by Jack Garner, and that's a dream start for Morecambe. Wrexham thought they'd cleared their lines, Garner didn't give it up, and his low drive finds the bottom corner of Arthur Okonkwo's net, and inside the first 4 minutes, what about that for a start? Morecambe 1, Wrexham 0, and it's Jack Garner.
That's exactly the start we wanted there, you know. Great ball in behind from Guion Edwards, and a little bit of confusion there between the defender and Okonkwo, and it's a brilliant finish from Jed Garner to cut inside, and then just, it's a horrible one for a keeper, just drag it into that near post, and it's a brilliant finish, and what a start, 1-0.
In fact, he goes short to Jan Songa, senior then can't quite thread it through. Jacob Vadeau on the halfway line, oh, he's made a bit of a mess of that. Tried to get it back to Archie Mayer and he's allowed Paul Mullin to nick it away from him. Here's Mullin inside the penalty area. There's men over at the far post. It's 1-1. And it's James McLean that we left all alone, and we are the makers of our own downfall there. Jed Brannan in the Morecambe technical area is absolutely furious about that. We have gifted Wrexham away back into the game. Ball on the halfway line. It was an easy pass back from Jacob Vadeau to his keeper, you have to say. Perhaps took a bit of a bobble on the Mazuma playing surface. Got his angles wrong, and that was all that Paul Mullin needed to nick the ball off him. He raced into the penalty area, squares the ball across. A good finish into the roof of the net by James McLean. And we're all square on 33 minutes at Morecambe 1, Wrexham 1.
Yes, yeah, it's a difficult one. That sort of come from nothing, really. We haven't given them too much, haven't had really any chances yet. And just a poor back pass from Jacob, though. It did take a bobble, but, you know, with Paul Mullin chasing you, you can't afford to make mistakes like that. And, you know, fair play to Mullin. He drives down well, and he picked out his man in the box who's, you know, virtually got an open goal to smash it into, and he does. And, yeah, it's 1-1. Disappointing after a very, very strong start from us.
Barnett down the right-hand side. Max Melbourne's got to be careful here that he doesn't get blindsided by Ollie Palmer. Max Melbourne is on a yellow card. That's his second caution, and it's a disastrous start to the second half for the Shrimps.
Did not need this at all.
48 and a half on the watch. Jed Brannan arguing furious with the fourth official.
I'm sure he got a toe on the ball there as well.
Max Melbourne just got the wrong side of his man. Ollie Palmer nicked it away from him. Short to Barnett, Elliot Lee, right-hand tip of the penalty area, gets the ball across, it's cleared away, more up in the air than anything by Songo, bit of head tennis, shot comes in from Lee, David Tatonga is going to concede a penalty, and it's absolutely unravelling here for Morecambe in the first few minutes after half-time. Tatonga off the bench after Max Melbourne was sent off. It was a shot, a pile driver really from Elliot Lee on the edge of the area. I think Tatonga's arms were out in absolute fairness just inside the box. Hit from close range, and the referee, Thomas Parsons, points to the spot and awards Wrexham a penalty.
It's a harsh penalty, but it's a risky run as a defender. As soon as your arms are in the air, if the ball catches your arm and it's in the air, it's going to be a penalty now.
And it's former Shrimp Paul Mullin with the responsibility from the spot in front of his away fans. Archie Mayer standing in his way. Mullin steps up, sends Mayer the wrong way, into the bottom corner it goes, and Wrexham lead. Penalty conceded by Tatonga for handball just inside the penalty area. Mullin, cool as you like, sends Mayer the wrong way. Morecambe 1, Wrexham 2.
Yeah, we've been our own downfall today so far. We started so well that first 20 minutes, didn't give Wrexham a sniff, and now all of a sudden the game turns on the head with that goal we give away. Ultimately, you know, we've just fallen apart really so far. We need to pick ourselves up, and we need to find some real character. And to be honest, it's a real uphill climb now. You know, against a side like Wrexham with 11 men tied enough, but with 10 men and now behind in the game, It's a very, very difficult job we've got on our hands.
And away for another corner.
Wrexham looking to go short here as well.
Edwards, he's alert to the fact that they're going to take it short, but couldn't quite get across in time as it comes in. And Stephen Fletcher nods it into the back of the net for 3-1. Just come off the bench. Rose High is 6 yards out. And you fear that that could be game, set and match for Phil Parkinson's men. Second corner in quick succession, taken short, whipped in, and there's Stephen Fletcher, the quality he has in League 2, nods it past Archie Mayer for Morecambe 1, Wrexham 3.
Yeah, we've been holding out for as long as we possibly can, and you know, that threat's always been there, and it's a great power and header from Stephen Fletcher just into the far corner. It's a disappointing way for us to concede, though. You know, out of all the play and being caught on the counter, you sort of take that when you're down to 10 men. But to concede from a set piece, as easy as that, it was a bit of an unchallenged header from Stephen Fletcher.
It started so well for Morecambe. Started so well. Jed Garner giving the Shrimps the lead after just 3.5 minutes. A defensive slip allowed Wrexham to get back on level terms. We then had Max Melbourne sent off 3 minutes after half time, and since then Wrexham, like all good teams, have just kept their foot on the pedal, scored a penalty to make it 2-1. And you can't leave Stephen Fletcher unmarked, 6 yards out. He's going to nod those in all day long, unfortunately, and that's exactly what he did.
Reaction to the action. This is the Shrimps Verdict on Beyond Radio.
Referee puts the whistle to his lips. Mr. Thomas Parsons boos echoing around the Mazuma Mobile Stadium. That's been directed the way the match officials, though. Certainly not the way of Morecambe, who have given it everything today, but ultimately have succumbed to a 3-1 defeat here by automatic promotion chasing Wrexham. It started so well for the Shrimps as well. Jed Garner finding the bottom corner of a Conquo's net after less than 4 minutes to give the Shrimps a dream start, but it unravelled really as the game went by, as Jed Brannan, I think, is going to go over and have a word with the match officials, and Dave Fitzgerald on the pitch as well. Equaliser came 10 minutes or so before the half time whistle, and it was an error all of our own doing really. Badeau lost it on the halfway line. Gillemay cleared it or got it back to the keeper. Got in a bit of a tangle. That allowed Paul Mullin to go down the left-hand side. Cross it for James McLean to sweep home into the roof of the net for the equaliser. All fell apart, really, early on in the second half. Max Melbourne got sent off for a second bookable offence. I think probably both yellow cards were justified in absolute fairness. Just got the wrong side of Ollie Palmer on the 48th minute. He saw red. Soon after, it was 2-1. Penalty by Paul Mullin after substitute to Tonga had handled in the box. He sent Archie Mayer the wrong way. The former Shrimp always scores against Morecambe. That was 2-1. It was then 3-1 late on. A Stephen Fletcher header, unmarked, 6 yards out, 10 minutes from time, nodding it into the back of the net to complete a disappointing afternoon for the Shrimps. Full of heart, full of fight, full of spirit. But ultimately, as Dave Fitzgerald remonstrates with the match officials before giving a round of applause to the Morecambe faithful behind the Halo Terrace this Saturday afternoon, it wasn't going to be enough. Morecambe have slipped to a 3-1 defeat here this afternoon, and goalkeeper Stuart Moore alongside us this afternoon. It started so well.
It did. And I think
disappointing that it started so well.
I think it's one of those, isn't it? Sometimes you can score too early and you sort of not rest on your laurels, but you almost get that false sense of, okay, it's going to be easy today. But the referee getting a lot of abuse from the home fans here, and it's been a tough day for him overall. I don't think he's been too bad. It was one of those with Max Melbourne sending off. Was it a sending off? Was it not? I thought Max maybe just got a toe on the ball, but it's so hard, you know, without VAR or without any really help there. It's one of those. Obviously, he's made the decision, and once he makes the decision, he's got to send him off, unfortunately. But yeah, like I was saying, we start so well. The first 20 minutes has been brilliant, and then we sort of, you know, we give him a goal out of nothing, which it's unfortunate for Jacob Badeau. You can see exactly what he's doing, and the ball's bobbled up, and you know, having Paul Mullin chasing you down there, giving him the ball, and then obviously finding James McLean in the centre, he's never going to miss a goal from there. And as soon as they got back on level terms, that was just the confidence boost they needed, and they came out, fair play to them, they came out the better team second half. And with us going down to 10 men, we never really stood a chance against them, to be honest. It was an uphill battle, and yeah, it's a frustrating one. Like you say, you know, whether we would have kept 11 men on the pitch, it would have been a completely different game. Who knows? But as it stands, is, you know, we've lost the game today 3-1. It's disappointing. We've been on a good run recently, but we've just got to pick ourselves up and go again Tuesday, because at this stage of the season, games come thick and fast, and, you know, there's no point, you know, dwelling over one game, one loss, because you can't win every game. You'd love to, but that's just the way football goes. It's how you pick yourself up and you go again, and hopefully we can get ourselves on a bit of a run again.
And it's not like the reverse fiction when we lost 6-0 at the Racecourse Ground, where we were, it was just an abject display and we were just completely played off the park. We weren't today. For a large period of the game, we were well in the contest.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's, you know, it's a real credit to the boys and to the staff here as well, and how far we've come. Obviously, that was a blip. It was very uncharacteristic for us that day, and it was very disappointing. So I don't think it really showed us in our true light. But, you know, we've give it much more of a go, and we've become such a better team since then as well. You know, we've got more players in, we've got better players in, and, you know, we've become better and tighter as a unit as well, which is all credit to everyone at the club. And, you know, obviously we're building, we're growing. There's going to be things that go wrong, and we're just going to have to learn to deal with it. We're not going to get everything right, but we try our socks off every game, every week, and it's all you can do, really. Sometimes it just doesn't fall for you, and that's what's happened today. Obviously, a few decisions against us, a few bits of our own, you know, wrongdoing, and ultimately it cost us today.
And when you play the very best teams in the league, you've got to be absolutely on your A game, haven't you, I suppose? And that was the thing against Crewe last week. Even though they went 2-0 up, we were still playing really well, and it showed, and we got back into the game. But we weren't quite at our best today, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
For all the effort, of course, we weren't quite at our best.
When you're playing the teams at the top, you know, you get punished. Any little mistake, you will get punished. And I think it's one of those, we've come from behind a lot, which is completely different to going ahead in the game. You come from behind, you got nothing to lose, you can really go for it, and obviously it's all for the opposition team to lose. But when you go that goal up, you're always going to be attacked, it's a completely different mindset you've got to be in. And as soon as the opposition team get back on level term again, it's another mindset that then changes, and you've got to learn to deal with that. We did it well in the week, we went 1-0 up and we held out for the win with a clean sheet there, but today unfortunately we didn't do that. So it's just, you know, it's all about, you're going to make mistakes in football, things are going to happen that aren't going to go your way. It's all how you learn from it and how you deal with it better next time. And, you know, I think it's happened quite a few times this season where things haven't gone our way, or we've not played great, and the following game we've really really responded for that. So hopefully we can do it for Tuesday as well.
Let's look at the positive side, Stu. Just looking at the League 2 table, have a look at that. We may have dropped a place, but we are still just outside the top 7 on goal difference.
Yeah.
We are one of 4 clubs on 54 points as it stands. It's going to be close, isn't it?
It is going to be
close. We would have
close.
Absolutely taken being on the fringes of the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%.
With 10 games to go.
I think that's a big thing from today. Obviously, it's very disappointing not to win. It's very disappointing not to even get a point today. But results have gone our way elsewhere. So, you know, we're still well within it. It's not the end of the world. Yes, it's disappointing. Yes, you want to keep winning and really want to keep climbing the table. But at the end of the day, as long as you're still in it, and who knows what can happen come the end of the season. You've got to remain within touching distance of it. You might not even be in it come last game of the season, but it gives you that chance to sneak in as well. So, you know, we've just got to keep picking up as many points as we can, where we can. And, you know, at the end of the day, it might not be in our hands, but we've just got to do everything we can to be up there.
Got some big games coming up, Stu, starting on Tuesday with Newport. How do the lads pick themselves up?
Yeah, like I said before, there's no point dwelling on this game. Obviously, we'll have a look at a few different things of what we could have done better and, you know, what we did well. But ultimately, you know, you end up, it's such a quick turnaround, so you've just got to prepare now. The lads have got to go in there, make sure they're fit for Tuesday, make sure they're well recovered. And, you know, we've got a long journey down, which obviously isn't brilliant, but you've just got to make sure you're well recovered and you're best prepared mentally, ready to go again. Because, like I said, the games come thick and fast, and sometimes that could be a good thing. You can put this game to bed, and if we go get a result, this one's soon forgot about. So, it's a difficult thing. It's part of football, I guess. You win some, you lose some, and it's just how you bounce back and respond.
Stu Moore, the Morecambe goalkeeper, thank you very much indeed, my friend, as ever. It's always a pleasure to have you alongside us. I don't know how many more times, if ever, we're going to have you, because you're right on the fringes of being match fit again, aren't you? Which is brilliant, brilliant news. So about, what, 3 weeks, we reckon, hopefully?
Yeah, hopefully back fully training in probably about 3 weeks, and then, yeah, we'll just have to see from there. So
once you're back fully training,
yep,
you're fit to be in contention for the squad, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. As long as everything goes to plan, you know, I've been out for such a long time now, I'll get back in fully training. I'm feeling good, I'm feeling sharp at the moment, but there is just that little bit of sharpness that, you know, once I'm back training, I will pick up. So it's one of those, obviously, we'll gauge it once I get back in and see where I'm at. Hopefully, fingers crossed, everything will go really well. And once I'm back fully training, I'll be able to be selected for the squad. But I'll leave that down to obviously the professionals and, you know, their decisions, because ultimately at the end of the day, it's been such a big injury. We want to make sure once I'm back fully.
Well, hopefully you're going to be sitting next to me for our next home game, which is Gillingham in 2 weeks' time. But we'll go from there, I suppose. Yeah. So, Stu, have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks
for
joining us on Shrimps Live.
Brilliant to be here again.
Well, Jed, a 3-1 home defeat to Wrexham today, but that doesn't really tell the story, does it?
No, it doesn't reflect at all on the game. We were cruising 1-0 up for half an hour, playing some great stuff. Never had the shot at goal against us, and then for our own worst enemy, we give the ball away in their corner flag, and then they counter-attack us, and we make a couple of mistakes along the way, and we don't go with the runner for the goal, and then obviously 1-1 just before half-time, and then we come out second half, a little bit sloppy, like we'd want to be, and then we get a man sent off.
It was a great start, taking the lead after 4 minutes, great work from Jed Garner.
Yeah, fantastic. He got in between the ball and his man, turned the man, he sent the keeper the wrong way with a great strike at the bottom corner. That's what he can do, see more of it.
And then you were doing really well, 1-0, then unfortunately for Jacob Beddoe, a really bad mistake to feed him poor man.
Yeah, it was a mistake, but before he'd done that, there was a couple of mistakes along the way. So it's a team, we get beat as a team, not individuals, so we'll take that all together like we did, and we'll go on to Tuesday's game as a team as well.
When it's 1-1, the next goal is always a bit of a vital one. It came for them from the penalty, but after Max Melbourne had been sent off, a second yellow card, two very soft yellow cards, weren't they?
It certainly was. I don't really want to say too much in case I do get myself into trouble, but sometimes you've got to say stuff. The referee today was an absolute disgrace, he really was. He gave them a penalty, which was never a penalty, and the sending off was just ridiculous. The first booking, if you'd ever look at the first booking, it weren't even a booking. So we booked him on that, and then he said he was in a promising position to score a goal and sent Max off. He was in a corner flag. So I just don't know what he's seen, and then we should have got a penalty later on, and he never gave it to us. So that's what.
Always tough to take. Paul Mullen, of course, we always fancy from the spot. And Stephen Fletcher, when you've got the strength for Stephen Fletcher to come off the bench to make it 3-1, but you can't deny that your boys did give everything with 10 men.
You know what, you're playing Wrexham, they're a top team, they're not up there for no reason, they've won a lot of games this season, but I thought they got a lot of help off the referee, I'd say, but against 10 men against them, it's going to be really tough, and they kept the ball well, and then he's always going to score a penalty, isn't Mullen, so he's a little predator, so he's done really well for them today, and then a great header by them for the third goal, but the game was over by then, but the lads never give up, they work the socks off, that's all you can do, the group of lads we've got, they're always going to work hard. I thought our fans were brilliant today as well, so big thank you to them.
Just heard Phil Parkinson say he came into this game knowing that Morecambe are a really good team. They're the team in form. When you think about the game you had when you lost 6-0 at their place, not that long ago, it's been a great turnaround.
Yeah, a totally different team, totally different players all over. Don't know how many players we had. It was maybe 3 or 4 players playing today we played in that. But as I say, we're a totally different animal now. We're all together as a team, and staff are all together. As I say, we've had some great results, and we'll just go on Tuesday and hopefully put another good performance in.
You mentioned Tuesday there, no Farrand Rawson today. How's he, and is he available for Tuesday, you think?
No, he's not available. It's a shame. He's done his groin, he's out 3 to 5 weeks, so he's a massive loss for us. Obviously it hurt us today, but Stokes, he's played a few games. Stokes, he's come in and done really well today as well, so it is what it is.
You made the two changes today on the left and right hand side as well. You've done that a couple of times in the last few weeks. Is that, when you talked about the rotation of your squad, is that something that you look to do?
Yeah, I believe if you rotate the forwards more than defence, it keeps you fresh going forward, and it's a big thing in this league. And you see over the last 6 or 7 games when we've changed, we've done substitutions, we've got something out of it. So it's hard to have a play with it today, but it's really tough when you've got 10 men against a top team like Wrexham.
You mentioned the fans there. A 3-1 home defeat, but they were with you right to the end, weren't they?
Yeah, you see what the effort the lads were putting in and what we were up against. You know what I mean? I don't want to say anymore, but what we were up against, and they've seen it. They're not soft. You can see things on the pitch. Some of the decisions against us were not right, and so they got behind us, and they have done all season. So, as I say, hats off to them.
Well, Archie, a 3-1 home defeat to Wrexham today. Just your overall thoughts on the game?
Yeah, obviously, we're disappointed. You know, we started the game well, strongly, went up 1-0 early. I think after their goal, you know, they grew in the game, goals changed games, so they kind of came on to us a bit in the first half towards the end, and then obviously a disappointing start to the second half when we get the red card and then the penalty. I think, you know, kind of a few heads may go down and things, but we're a bit disappointed, I would say. Yeah,
the opening 10 minutes of the second half just changed the whole thing, didn't it? Max Melbourne getting sent off, the penalty, which is a really unlucky, really unfortunate for David Tutonda, just changed things, didn't it?
Yeah, of course, you know, it's always going to be difficult going down to 10 men against a good side like them. I think that proved today, you know, it kind of took the sting out of it for them. They managed to slow the game down and kind of play at their own pace. It's obviously difficult for the boys to cover extra yards. So I think, yeah, it changed the game massively, that.
Great start, though. Jed Gardner giving you the lead on just 4 minutes. Nice to be ahead for once.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. As you say, a good start. I think, you know, we spoke about it in the last few weeks that we need to start games better, and I think we did exactly that today. But once we conceded that goal in the first half, I thought, you know, they came on to us and it changed the game a little bit, which was disappointing. But yeah, we did start well.
Plenty of games to come. You're still high up there. You're still pushing for a playoff spot. Game on Tuesday night, still all to play for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the boys are recovered, and then we go again Tuesday looking for 3 points again. As you say, there's lots of points to play for still in the season. I think we've got 10 games left now. So, you know, we're hoping to be right up there and kind of put a run together again.
No Farron Rawson today, and the manager's told us he's going to be out for a few weeks. How big a blow is that for you?
Yeah, it's a big miss. I think Faz has been brilliant. You know, he would have helped there in there today. He heads and kicks everything in front of me. So, you know, it'll be a big miss. But we've got good players to come in and play instead of him. So, you know, we'll just get together and do our best, yeah.
Since you've come into the side, not too many defeats for you. How are you feeling so far about your own performances and your own form since joining us?
Yeah, reasonably happy. You know, I think we've been on a good run lately. I think that was my 11th or 12th game today, and we've only lost three, so we've been winning more often than not, which is always nice. So yeah, we're just looking to carry on that throughout the rest of the season. As I say, obviously personally, I'm trying to perform for the team and do as well, but it's just important as a collective, I think, now that we really kick on for the rest of the season.
Nice for you, especially to get a few clean sheets.
Yeah, I think the one on Tuesday was a bit overdue. You know, the only other one I think we've had is Sutton. So it was nice to get another one on Tuesday. You know, we need to kind of look towards that again for the last 10 games to try and get some more clean sheets and make it easier for ourselves.
And how are you enjoying your time at the club?
Yeah, a lot, as I touched on there. You know, being in a good run, so I'm really enjoying it. It's nice to be pushing for playoffs, you know, and winning games. So yeah, long may it continue for the rest of the season, really.
It's the Shrimps Verdict podcast, part of Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio. This is Dave Salmon. Thanks for downloading this episode as ever. And thanks for your eyes and your ears on Shrimps Live. We are the only place where you can get full match commentary for free, of course, of every single Morecambe game this season. And we are back on the road on Tuesday. Apart from the last day of the season when we travel to Swindon, this is the last long away trip for Morecambe of the campaign. We've got a few other away trips between now and then, of course, but there to Accrington and Stockport and to Salford next Sunday, of course. So not too far. 5 home games in that mix as well. So it's not too bad at all, really, coming down the track in terms of travel. But a long, old away trip to South Wales. Tuesday night, 7:45 kickoff. And, of course, as ever, we'll have the whole game live right here on Beyond Radio. And I follow Shrimps. Look forward to your company then. Let's look ahead to that game then with Ed Bridges. Ed is a huge Newport County fan and one of the presenters in the 1912 Exiles, a Newport County podcast, social media. Search 1912 Exiles, you'll see exactly what I mean. And the ideal man then to get the full lowdown. This is a good chat here with Ed, the full lowdown on Graham Coughlin's men, and of course a couple of former Morecambe players who we might be coming up against in the form of Ryan Delaney and also Aaron Wildig. I think Shane McLaughlin is injured for this one on Tuesday night, but we could see a couple of former Shrimps playing against us. The ideal man to get the lowdown on Newport County ahead of our trip there this coming Tuesday night. Well, Ed, thanks for jumping back on our pod, mate. Always great to chat. Quite a bit's happened between the fixtures. But before we get on to all of that, let's have the sales pitch, if you will, and a bit of a background history as well about 1912 Exiles. Why do you do the pod, and how did it start?
Why do we do the pod? That's a question I ask myself every week when I'm sitting down and editing another lengthy contribution. Why do I do this? It is the original and we think the best fan-led podcast for Newport County FC. We're a small band of five like-minded fans scattered around the country. There's a couple of us in Southeast Wales, but we've got Ian, who's up north, who tends to do the miserable Tuesday night away days at places like Morecambe. We've got JB down in London, Reece down in Wiltshire. So, you know, we kind of have a good geographic spread, which helps. And yeah, we are all delighted to go around the country and watch Newport County and to try and provide some impartial, broadly positive, but occasionally constructively critical, and we like to think fairly erudite and thought through analysis of Newport County. So yeah, it's a hobby, but one we enjoy.
And I suppose if you spread out all over the country, Ed, it's a nice way to catch up, isn't it?
Well, yeah, although it's actually quite rare that we're all in a room together. I think the Man United Cup game back in late January was the first time all five of us had been in a pub together. So, you know, although we tend to meet up in bunches of twos and threes, actually for us to come together in person is a really nice thing. So, yeah, we just need a massive cup game once a season and then we've got a reason to do it.
Now, quite a bit has happened, Ed, hasn't it, since the last time we played each other. For the people who can't remember, it was actually our manager, Jed Brannan's first game in permanent charge of Morecambe. And on that occasion, you beat us. And by doing that, you were the first team to come and beat us at home in the league. So our proud home unbeaten league record went on Jed Brannan's first permanent game in charge. It was the match after we'd just been hammered 6-0 away at Wrexham as well. So we didn't quite know which way the season was going to pan out. But lots has happened since then. And I know you've had a bit of an up and down a time of it over the last few weeks, haven't you? You seem to have a great win, then you have a crashing defeat, and then you have another good win. And that's how it's gone recently. But the point is, with 10 or so games to go, we are still both very much in the playoff mix.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the season as a whole. It has been a strange old season. We've spent a large chunk of it in a false position, either lower than we deserve to be or higher than we deserve to be, just because the fixtures have particularly this year bunched up for us. So we had a very relatively easy set of opening fixtures. So we perhaps were in a bit of a false position after the first, you know, 8 or 9 games. We then had an incredibly tough spell and we were starting to get a bit nervy in the autumn and looking over our shoulders. But I think, you know, around October, November sort of time, we'd seen enough that made us think, you know, we're probably going to be okay this season. We had a great win at home to Stockport. They were on the back of, I think, 12 games in a row winning games and were flying, and they came to us and we got a win. And at that point, most County fans went, okay, we're too good to go down, probably. We are probably not going to challenge the playoffs, but, you know, mid-table and perhaps a cup run will do us. And sure enough, we had the cup run and we now find ourselves, yeah, in theory, within touching distance of the playoffs. I think in practice, there's an awful lot of teams, I think it's 7 or 8, chasing that last playoff berth. County are probably one of the ones less likely to get there. And we've just had a challenging set of fixtures ourselves. You know, we've had Mansfield, we've got Stockport tomorrow, we've got to come to Morecambe. If we're still in with a shout come the end of March, then I might start to believe. But at the moment, I'm just happy. We thought this was going to be a really, really tough season. We'd have taken 22nd position if you'd offered it to us in August. As it is, we've had a lot of adventures along the way. It's been a lot more fun than we'd expected. So anything now is a bonus.
And I suppose given that you have struggled in not too distant memory to actually survive almost in the EFL, then it does mean it's a season better than expectations, I guess. But it's all about staying in the race as well, Ed, isn't it? And as long as you're still in touching distance and the many weeks that pass that go on and you're still there or thereabouts, you've always got an outside sniff, I suppose. So that makes the season exciting, or hopefully the running exciting, just a little bit at least.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, we sometimes have the argument within the podcast group about the playoffs, because Ian, who is something of an old curmudgeon, doesn't like the whole concept of playoffs. He thinks it was better back in the day when you had 4 go up automatically. And I can see why, you know, it sometimes feels a bit unfair if the team who finishes 8th manages to go up. But having said that, can you imagine how boring our season would be by this point if there weren't playoffs? So I'm very pleased to have something to play for. I think a top half finish is still within our reach, and that would be an incredible result given we had various financial issues over the summer and we've had an injury ravaged season. So yeah, there's an awful lot still to play for. We've got some away games that I'm particularly looking forward to. I'm going to be ticking off AFC Wimbledon's new ground and Valley Parade in Bradford, which I've never been to before. So I think there's enough still in the last few months to keep us interested and motivated.
Interested and motivated indeed. It's going to be a tough... I mean, we like coming to Rodney Parade. I've not been for a few years.
Yeah.
I'm not so pleased about having to come on a Tuesday night. I mean, I know you obviously had to come on a Tuesday night to our place, so the fixture gods haven't really been kind, but blimey, it's a bit of a way to come, isn't it, on a Tuesday?
It is. I would advise your listeners to make a day of it if you can. You know, lean into it. I think that's the thing to do. If you've got to do a Tuesday midweek game and it's going to be cold and all the rest of it, I think lean into it. Head down first thing in the morning. Really enjoy Newport. Go and have a look at the Transporter Bridge. It's one of only a few in the world. Go and explore the Civic Centre, you know, find out about the Chartist March and everything else. Go to the indoor market. There's loads of great street food options and some great beers. Go around the corner, Tiny Rebel, which is a local brewery. Their bar on the high street is going to be closing down in a few weeks' time. I think this might be one of the last weeks you get to sample it. So they do some good beers, and then wander over the road to Ye Olde Marenja House, which is a mock Tudor pub selling good beer in a lovely environment. So, you know, you can really make the most of the trip if you're going to do it, would be my advice.
I had a kind of Tiny Rebel just a couple of weeks ago, actually. I didn't know it was from Newport, but there you go. Yeah. Learn something every day. Very nice drop it, Rossity. Before we talk in a bit more detail, Ed, about the actual team, that former Shrimp Watch is something that we obviously do, whoever we play against. And three very recent former Shrimps in your team and have played a big part in the team this season. So if we could talk about those, if we may. Firstly, Aaron Wildig, we really wish he was still a Morecambe player. How's he been doing for you guys?
He's been up and down. I mean, his fitness has been an issue. And listen, I like Aaron Wildig. As a pod, we like Aaron Wildig. He is probably, not only is he our best creative option, but he's probably one of our only creative options in midfield, certainly in terms of experience and consistency. And when we've been without him, we have not looked as good a team. Having said that, his injuries have proved problematic, and I'm not sure he's going to stay next season. He's out of contract. I'm not sure he's a Graham Coughlin sort of player. I wonder if we think we can trade up. But he's done really well for us when he's been fit. Last season, he was incredibly important. Got a lot of time for the guy. But yeah, he's not played as much football as I think we all would have liked. Can I talk about Ryan Delaney now?
Ryan Delaney, Shane McLaughlin definitely have.
Yeah. So Ryan Delaney, I will use any opportunity to wax lyrical about him. So I think when we signed him, I asked you, what have we got here?
Yeah.
And you nailed it. You said, you know, he's better within a back three than a back four. You know, he's got a good left foot. He's a good leader. And yeah, he's been Mr. Consistent this season. He's been our captain. He just deals with stuff. He does look better in a back three. He does look better when he's got experienced options alongside him. During the kind of really injury ravaged periods in October, November, he basically had a new defensive partner every week, including some, you know, very inexperienced youngsters who he was having to guide. But when he's had good players around him, he's just been fantastic. And also, like, what a nice human being. In late December, my youngest was mascot, and I said to him, you know, which player do you want to hold their hand when you walk out? He said, well, Ryan Delaney. And I went, great, well, go up and tell him. And Ryan Delaney could not have been nicer to him. And we now have a lovely framed picture of my boy with Ryan Delaney, and he always looks out for him. And when Delaney got injured, I think my boy sent him a little card saying, get well soon, you know, and stuff. So he's a nice guy, Ryan Delaney. He's a really good bloke, good leader. We've only got him on a one-year contract, which surprises me. And I really hope we can nail him down for next season, because he would be very hard to replace. And then, yeah, Shane McLaughlin is the final one of the trio. And he's been the unexpected surprise package this season. I asked a Wimbledon friend of mine, what have we got when we signed him? And he said, oh, he's a steady Eddie, 7 out of 10, you know, just does the basics. He'll be reliable for you at the kind of right wing back. And I thought, well, that's fine. We'll settle for that. But actually, he's done far better than that. He's been again, a really important creative outlet. We tend to create a lot down the wing back roles as well as midfield. And Shane has done a really good job. He's provided some fantastic goals, including an absolute stunner against Stockport back in November. And yeah, he's created a lot. He's crosses well. He's not going to play against you on Tuesday night. He's injured, which may be a relief to you because he's been one of our form players this season.
Disappointed that we're not going to see the Bronx hustler because we always enjoyed him when he had a Morecambe shirt on. But great news about Ryan. Hopefully you can keep him. He's a great player. I'm really sad to lose him, really. And he's also got amazing teeth as well. Has he still got his bright white teeth? I don't know what he uses to brush his teeth with, but goodness gracious me. But no, very, very nice man. Right, so ahead of the game then, Ed, what do we need to know about Graham Coughlan Newport County this season? For those who weren't at the Mazuma or have forgotten them and tried to put that to the back of their minds, formation, players, wants to watch, give us the intel.
Formation will be a 5-3-2 with wing-backs. That's pretty much what we've done every game this season. Occasionally, we'll try and spring a surprise. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'd have thought on a Tuesday night at home to Morecambe, it's going to be 5-3-2. We're a very pragmatic side. Coco is a pragmatic manager and he will pick the side that he thinks will do the job. Having said that, injuries will dictate a lot of it as well. So I can pretty much guess most of the starting 11. The ones to watch are going to be Will Evans up front. He has been our top scorer this season. He got a lot of the headlines ahead of that kind of big Man United game because, you know, he's a great story. He was playing in the Cymru Prem and working on his family's dairy farm until a couple of seasons ago when we plucked him from Cymru Prem obscurity. So he's known as the milkman, partly because of the dairy farm thing, but also because he always delivers. So he's scored some fantastic goals this season and is a danger. The other striker who will start with him is Seb Palmer-Holden, who we've got on loan from Bristol City, who is quick, powerful, and is not going to be playing fourth division football again next season. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he finds himself on the fringes of Bristol City's squad. He looks the part. And then, yeah, behind them, Wilding probably is the man who will generate the creativity in midfield. The wing-backs have been important for us this season, but like I say, McLaughlin is out, so it'll be Josh Payne filling in, who's not quite the same sort of player. Adam Lewis, who we've got on loan from Liverpool at left wing back, has been very important at times, but is struggling for form. So we may keep it a bit tighter than we have done. That win at the Mazuma back in whenever it was it November sort of time? I kind of lose track now. Was an unexpected bonus. We would have come off the back of two very, very tough games against Mansfield and Stockport. So I think, yeah, we'll see where we are Tuesday night. But I think there'll be a desire to just maybe try and keep a clean sheet, keep it tight at the back. And then if we can nick something, then so much the better.
Are you worried about our away form in any way, Ed? I mean, I can throw a couple of stats at you. We've come back to win 3-2 four times away from home this season. We've also won 2-1, having been behind three times away from home. So whatever position we might find ourselves in, we're always going to think we're in with a chance.
Yeah, the only thing I will throw back at you is that Rodney Parade is where runs and stats come to die. Teams will come to Rodney Parade either on a great run or a terrible run, and things change for them. So I wouldn't worry too much about the form book because it's the sort of ground where everything kind of goes out the window. Having said that, I don't know, I do feel like Morecambe have, this season accepted, had a bit of a hex over us in the past. So, you know, we'll see how we get on. But like I say, I think the main difference from usual is that we probably won't have any kind of gung-ho attacking stuff when we are in possession. We don't tend to have much possession of the ball. We tend to let the other team have the ball, but when we get it, we use it quite quickly. I wonder if Tuesday night we may just be a little bit more cautious and perhaps probe a little bit in the first half, but not really kind of go for the kill and just try and work out what we're up against and then see where we go from there on.
And how's the Rodney Parade pitch looking this season? Ed, last time I was there, it was... Well, it was a farmer's field, basically. So how is it faring?
Well, I can tell you've not been for a couple of seasons then, Dave, because it was like there was a running joke about how bad the Rodney Parade pitch would be. You'd always get to like November and then it would just be a complete shocker. And, you know, often in January, we'd then start going, oh, we're going to have to play games somewhere else. And, you know, we did a few years ago have to play some games at Cardiff City's ground during the COVID season. After that, they did do a lot of work on it. And I have to say now, it is like a snooker table. Even at this sort of time of year, it looks good. So there'll be no problems with the pitch cutting up. The weather in South Wales, the sun's out at the moment, so I can't imagine there'll be any risk to the game. And yeah, you'll find the surface to your liking. I mean, weirdly, there was a period when we sorted the pitch out, and then because it suited the teams who were playing against us more than it suited us, we kind of then had to reinvent our football. This was during the kind of Mike Flynn era. But now I think, yeah, we've learned to play football a little bit ourselves as well.
Ed, always great to chat, mate. Thank you so much for looking ahead to the game. Just before you go, I think you've already kind of answered it, actually, but I will ask you again. What is a good end to the season for Newport County? Can you stay in at least the conversation for the top seven until the end of the season?
I'd like to think we'll be able to dream for a little bit longer. I think in reality, my benchmark would be top half or higher. I'll be very, very happy. Like you say, if we're in the conversation, in with a mathematical chance, then great. But I feel like we've already won this season. You know, it's one of those where we really were expecting a long old slog. And to have had some of the victories we've had, to have had some of the away days we've had, and yeah, to have beaten Wrexham at home, to have had a good game against Man United as well. I think, yeah, anything now is a bonus. And if we can get top half, then yeah, so much the better. But then it's more about what happens next year.
Search 1912 Exiles where you get your pods, and on social media you'll see everything you need to know. One of the best fans-led podcasts and online content in League 2. So Ed, thank you very much indeed for your time. Always great to chat, and good luck for the rest of the season after Tuesday, of course. And well, who knows whether we'll still be in the same division as each other next year, but if we are, hopefully we'll chat very soon, mate.
I'm sure we will. Talk about
every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.